I'd like to share with you one of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment. It's found in the 20th chapter of Exodus, where God is giving us His rules. And it says this: "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female servants, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it." These are wonderful words to live by, and yet it is such a challenge for us to do. And in fact, we Christians have kind of a loophole. We say to ourselves that Jesus came to give us a new covenant, a new set of rules to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and love your neighbor as yourself, to believe in Him so that in Him we might have eternal life. And by that faith, by faith in Jesus Christ and the grace given to us for that, we are freed from the law. So, we can go ahead and work on the Sabbath if we need to. That's how we look at it. And it doesn't seem to bother us too much when we notice that there are dozens of stores in town open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can always go to a restaurant and find something to eat and not worry about somebody working on the Sabbath, or that there are hospitals full of doctors who are working on the Sabbath when we need them. We can rest assured that all of this is okay, because by God's grace in Jesus Christ, we have been freed from the Ten Commandments. But it's not that easy, is it? And as Paul himself said, all things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. Is it really beneficial for us to disregard the wisdom of God when He tells us to rest, to take a rest and take a break, refresh your bodies and your spirits? As we've gone through this series called Body and Mind and Spirit, we haven't yet talked about the need for just rest, for sleep, and how that is a part of the natural rhythm of life that God has created us with. God created us in His image. He worked for 6 days, rested on the seventh. I once had a boss that told me, "Well, maybe God rested after 6 days, but I certainly don't need to, and neither do you. Get back to work." And I laughed, because I kind of agreed with him. And yet, we laugh at our peril, because there is wisdom in God's words. He created us. He knows better than we do what we need. He created the world with its natural cycles of busyness and rest. He created day and night, dark and light, for things to rest when it's dark and to work when it's light, or for nocturnal animals the other way around. He created us so that we can regenerate our brains and regenerate our bodies in periods of rest. It has been scientifically proven that plants that grow under 24-hour-a-day artificial light do not thrive as well and have fewer antioxidants in them than plants that have a normal light cycle of day and night. We see these kinds of examples all throughout creation. And we know that it is harmful for us to disregard our need for rest, and yet we do it habitually. We think nothing of staying up until 11 or 12 o'clock at night, getting up at 4 in the morning to start the day. We think nothing of working all through the week and then cramming our weekends with chores that we have to do and programs that we need to do for our children and our families, and errands that we need to run until our Saturdays and Sundays are just as busy as our Mondays through Fridays. And the Centers for Disease Control has declared sleep disorders to be a public health epidemic. 40 to 50 million people in this country suffer from serious sleep disorders. And sleep disorders are not the end in themselves. They create other disorders too, like depression and anxiety disorders and hypertension and cancer even, diabetes, all have sleep disorders as a contributing factor. 40 to 50 million Americans living like that. In a nationwide survey, 49% of our population admitted to having at least one symptom of sleep disorder or bad sleep habits. 5%, listen to this, 5% of the population admits to having dozed off while driving a car. Now think about that. Next time you're driving down the interstate, look around you and just imagine that one in 20 cars is being operated by somebody who's fighting to stay awake. And maybe you're one of them. If you are, you're not alone. There are things that you can do. You can get professional help. And God has a few things to say about it as well. There are things that you can do just by growing in your spiritual life and developing the disciplines of the Christian faith that will help you in your sleep. Part of our social dysfunction that we live in is that we have a culture that seems to fight off sleep. New York City is no longer the only city that never sleeps. We live in Atlanta, one of the busiest cities in the country. And it spills over into our suburbs so that even in the middle of the night, you can look outside your window and see cars going by at all hours of the day and night in your own bedroom community. We have a frenetic lifestyle with bright lights everywhere, even in the darkest of the night. We sometimes brag about how little sleep we got the night before because we're working so hard. We think nothing of taking a second job. Sometimes our jobs are on some kind of a bailer shift, like, you know, you work 36 hours straight and then you take 4 days off. And that works so well for you, you take a side job for the 4 days that you have off. Or you have a rotating shift so that 1 week you're working the graveyard shift, the next week you're working the first shift, so that you never have a habit, never get into a routine that is refreshing for you. It's tough to live in this kind of a culture where sleep is given such short shrift. And yet it is God's way. God gave us the Sabbath. And Jesus reminded us that the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That it is for our benefit and our enjoyment and our refreshing that He has given us the Sabbath, and He wants us to keep it holy, to keep it separated from the rest of the week. I'm not saying there's something magical about a Sunday. It doesn't have to be a Sunday. I try to make my Sabbath a Saturday because, well, Sunday's kind of a work day for me. But it's the routine that's so important, and I have to admit right off the bat, I'm preaching to myself, I have trouble with this as well. I have trouble getting a good night's sleep and resting soundly. I have trouble with a job that doesn't have an official day off and I'm called on call all the time, and I'm not complaining. I enjoy this work, but it takes discipline to make that happen. It takes discipline for me to work and having a cycle of work through the week where I can take one day and rest. And that's what God wants us to do. It's what Jesus modeled for us. Now, surely the Pharisees were a little upset with Jesus because He was healing on the Sabbath. But He did practice the Sabbath. And He modeled for us the need to get away sometimes and go away to a quiet, secluded place and pray and find rest in God. He even rested in the boat as it was crossing the Sea of Galilee and the storm was raging. His disciples had to wake Him up so that He could still the storm. So God and Jesus understood the need for rest, and He modeled it for us as well. And we need to do that as well. Technology is becoming another challenge for us. It's well known that electromagnetic radiation can affect our brains while we're sleeping or can disturb us. Not to mention the temptation to stay up surfing the web all night long. So we have these issues challenging us, and the question is, what do we do about it? I think the first thing we need to do is recognize that God has created us, that our physical mechanisms and our spiritual beings and our brains are so ordered in such a way that we need cycles of rest and work. We need habits to get into so that we can fully work when we're working and fully rest when we're resting. We have to understand our circadian rhythms and honor them as much as we can. We need to recognize that our need for rest is not just for our own selves, it's for the rest of creation around us. I'll say that again. Our need for rest is not just for our sake, but for the sake of the rest of creation around us. Have you ever noticed that when you're working so hard, you end up giving work for other people as well? Have you ever noticed that when your life is so busy, you surround yourself with busy people who themselves lose the art of resting? I'll read to you from the 23rd chapter of Exodus. This is three chapters after the Ten Commandments. And here's what it says. Rest on the seventh day, so your animals and field hands may be refreshed. Let your land grow wild on the seventh year, so the wild animals may eat. So the Sabbath is not just for you, it's for everybody around you. God wants us to take a portion of our fields and every 7 years set it aside to rest. Don't plow it. Let it rest. Let the things grow wild on there, not just for the refreshment of the soil so that it can participate in the nitrogen cycle of nature, but also so that the wild animals can eat the wild grapes and the wild olives and the wild grasses that are growing while you're not tending it. And He wants us to practice the Sabbath so that our field hands, other people around us, and even our animals can enjoy that rest and be refreshed as well, for they were also made with the need for rest. When our lives get so busy that we can't stop and see what's going on around us, it creates a frenetic environment for everyone else so that we collectively lose the art of refreshment. And God wants us to be our best selves. He has work for us to do and a purpose for our lives. And He can't use us if we're already worn out. As the saying goes, you sometimes have to stop and sharpen the axe to cut down more trees. And sharpening the axe is an act of rest. Third, Sabbath is not just rest, it's also worship. Yes, the Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And yet, how do we spend our Sabbath? We can spend our Sabbath in the worship of God, in contemplating God's blessings for our lives and purpose for our lives, in reflecting on our lives in meaningful ways. This is what the Sabbath does. It gives us a chance to back away from all the things and stop rushing through the world and start smelling the roses, literally and figuratively. Irma Bombeck was a great writer. I loved all of her articles. They were so funny and she was so down to earth. But in her final years, as she was struggling with cancer, she had to stop and slow down and reflect on her life. One of her last articles that she wrote, I'd like to read parts of it for you. It's entitled, If I Had My Life to Live Over. If I had my life to live over, I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would never have insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. I like this one. I would have burned the pink candle sculpted like a rose before it melted in storage. I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for the day. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment and realized that the wonderment growing inside me was the only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. There would have been more I love yous and more I'm sorrys, but mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute, look at it and really see it, live it, and never give it back. Wise words, but why did she have to wait until she was dying of cancer to reflect on those things? Maybe she's just a too bit much like the rest of us who are too busy going through life to consider what's really important, to reflect on how what's really important in life and what we need to do right this moment to live this moment the best we can. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, told us not to worry about things. We have the present moment. The future is not yet given to us. The past is gone. We need to trust in God. We need to take our rest, to be refreshed and be the best at whatever it is we do. And not just in our personal lives, but in our professional lives, in our relationships, and in our work in the church. You know, I love working here at Kingswood. This is a glorious church, and it has such a fine history and such a wonderful ministry in the community. There's so many things we do, and I'm proud of all the things that we do. But let's face it. Sometimes we just work ourselves to death and burn out our volunteers. I had one man who came here, and he loved this church, but he said, you know, you don't just join Kingswood, you work at Kingswood. And he did not mean that in a very flattering way. It was a reality check with us because we have this core group of people that we tend to go to for all the committee work and all the leadership and such. And what we really need, what would be good for everyone, I think, would be to build a congregation so that there were more volunteers spreading the work more thinly and we had these cycles of moving in and out of some of the heavier work of the church. And that way all of us can have our Sabbath rest and all of us can lean on one another and refresh each other in spirit and body and mind in the work of the church. So as Jesus showed this and modeled this to His disciples, so let it be for us. That this be not only a place of mission, but also a place of sanctuary. That this be a place of healing and rest, and not just a place of proclamation and praise. We can live out our Christian faith in the natural cycle of life that God has given us, recognizing that He's in charge. So much of the time we create work for ourselves as a lack of faith, because of a lack of faith. It's that we are so convinced that it's all up to us, that we're the only ones that are going to get anything done, instead of recognizing that God is in charge of our lives. When we learn to lean on Him, we learn to relax and take advantage of His rhythm of life and rest. So as we bear witness to God's love and care for us, He will always care for us, and let us so reflect that in our own lives and bear witness to the love of God by the way we order our lives. Let's live our lives in such a way that we have that kind of work-life balance that shows other people that there really is a better way to live, so that our testimony of life is the gospel incarnate. And they are drawn to the love of Jesus just by the way we live and by the way we rest. Resting is so important in healing. And as we conclude this series on body and mind and spirit, I wanted to have an opportunity for us to all come together as a group for God's healing. God stands ready for us to heal. God wants us to come to Him and ask. And as we ask, He answers our prayers, but sometimes in ways that we least expect. Sometimes the healing God has in store for us is that healing which relieves us from the cares of this world and restores us to His bosom. Sometimes the healing God has in store for us is that total forgiveness, which we'll talk about in weeks to come, that total forgiveness which restores relationships. Sometimes that healing God has in store for us comes with the assistance of physicians and psychologists and psychiatrists and therapists. But all of it requires our participation. And all of it, for better efficacy, requires our faith in God that He is at work in our lives. This morning I'd like to conclude our service with an opportunity for anointing of oil. I'd like to ask Gary and Barbara and who is it, Mabel, to come on down at this point. If you'll come forward, please. They're going to assist with the anointing of oil. And you can come down. They will stand in front of each of these aisles. And you can come down and be anointed with oil. And I will stand off to the side. If any of you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to pray with you. Just come to me and let me know what your specific concerns are, and I'll pray with you as they are anointing with oil. Let this be a time, not where we're expecting magical things to happen, but a time where we open our lives for God's work in our lives, to recognize that He created us as whole human beings, body, mind, and spirit, and all of it is for God's good purposes and for His glory, and we need to be on our game. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the times we have to come together and build each other up in love, to set aside our cares for the world and rest in Your grace, for the cycle of life that You give us for work and refreshment. And we thank You for Your healing Spirit, which is present in this room right now. So pour out Your Spirit on these gifts of oil, that they may be for us a conduit of healing and grace. Bless those who present the oil so that their touch may be Your touch, that their finger may be Your finger, and all for Your glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.